Okay, let's begin Baba Basra, Daf Ayin. And we are on Samach Tes Amud Bey, second to last line. We continue here in the fourth parak of Maseches Baba Basra, which continues for another couple of Dafim, out of the three until Daf Ayin Gimel, relating to issues of sale and what is included in sales when I sell something, what is not included in sales, and we have been talking about what is included in tree sales. That was discussed on yesterday's Daf, commenting on the Mishnah, on Samach Tes Amud Bey, where we spoke about when somebody sells a Sadeh, you know, what trees do they keep with them, what are considered significant trees that they would not be included in the sale, what are considered to be nigrar in the sale. That was the discussion that we had, and we continue now, second to last line, last word. Amar Rav, says Rav, kol sha'olun lo, so what is this going on? What case? So the refers to explain, if somebody says, I'm selling you chutz me'ilon, right, second to last line in the Rashbam, ule'el ka'i, if someone says, except for the trees, and Rav is out telling us which trees are left out. Just keep reading the Rashbam for a moment. The Ka'am from Farish Rav, Elu eino ilano shashir, shim tanim hein harbe, lo mikri ilane. V'lo garsila bar mi dikli v'ilane. Right, but Pirish Ba'amah, right, so the Rav is saying that if there are very small trees, many small trees, those are not called trees. Meaning, there has to be something significant to be excluded. So here we go, back to the Gemara, Amar Rav. If they are large enough trees, they have to get a rope to climb up the trees. That is enough of a shear. Those are significant trees, and therefore those would be excluded from the sale if somebody sells their field. So then those would be excluded. That would be what he means by the case of leaving out trees. But if they are not significant special trees, so then lo avishiur, so then you don't need a rope to get up. It's easy to climb up. So then that wouldn't be a shiur, and they would be nigrar with the rest of the property. V'dayane gola amri, but the dayane gola, the dayanim of the galus, which the Gemara at the end of the first parak of Sanhedrin, remember, has a whole list of the last daf there, Yud Zayin Amabez, has a list of whatever the Gemara uses a phrase, what is it, which people are being referred to. So dayane gola, the Rashbam quotes on top, Shmuel and Karna. So the dayane gola amri, call a different definition, kol shaha ol kolvsho, anytime that if I take a plow, and I push the plow with the shvarim, and it's going to knock into the tree. Is the tree going to bend because of the strength of the plow? So that's not such a strong tree in itself. So kol sha'ol kovsho, if the ol be kovesh it and push it and bend it, so then lo avishir. So that would not be called a, that is not left out. Because those are soft trees, they're connected to the ground, and they're nigrari after the ground. Kol sha'ina ol kovsho, but if they are serious, strong trees, that the ol doesn't affect them, and they stand there upright, right, so havi shiur, so that would be called a shiur, and those would be significant trees. So two different definitions that we have. Alo pligi, habedikli, habeilani. And really, the Gemara says, there is no machlokas here between Dayani, Gola, and Rav. We're talking about different types of trees. Dikli, palm trees, and ilani. Palm trees are very tall. They only have branches all the way on top. Right, so that's why that doesn't work with the first definition, as the Rashbam explains. Had bedikli milsa derav. Rav is talking about the definition of Rav is only talking about the palm trees, because if once they get tall, then you can't climb up except with a rope. And that's why that definition is used. But in terms of Ol Kovsho, that is the what the Dayane Gola are referring to. The Rashbam explains. Habi Ilani, de Shahaol Kovsho, de Shir de Alias Cheva lo Shayach Behu. When it comes to other trees, the shear of climbing with a rope is not shaykh to them, because you can climb other trees even without a rope. There are branches low down. Just get on top of the branches and climb up. To below chevel olin b'kol shari lano. Say they are nothing. Have Mishnah Berurah Chilek Gimel. Hamispatz lim l'chol tzad. V'shear at the kvishas ol nami. And also the shear of the ol, the plow pushing, ikalamimer de lo shayach particularly, is also, that's not shayach by the palm trees, to use the second definition, da filu hecha de kavish le'ol, even if the burden pushes them, so it's still, they're going to be chashiv if they could go up with a rope. So that's how the Rashbam explains that each one is specifically tailored to the definition. So again, issue of climbing trees and not climbing trees. So in halacha, right, we know the issue of climbing trees comes up in Hilchos Shabbos. We know Gemara explains, the Gemara in Shabbos discusses, the Gemara in Beitzah, all about issues of the Isurei Durabanan on Shabbos of various malachas. As we know, one of the Isurei Durabanan is the Isur of climbing a tree on Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch talks about, I think it's a Shilam and Vav, the Isur Durabanan of climbing a tree, Gzeira Shema Yiksur. Right? I think, why can't I climb a tree on Shabbos? Because the Mishnah already says in the Gemara that I might rip off a branch, and therefore Chazal already asked climbing any tree on Shabbos, because I might rip off a branch. And even if I'm not going to, and even if the tree is dried out already, right, all the different Isurim. And the Chazal not only said climbing a tree, but any Hishtamshus Be'ilon is included in the Isur, any type of usage of any tree, leaning on a tree to tie my shoe, right? Any type of Hishtamshus Be'ilon is Asur Drabanan on Shabbos. What about if I have a hammock tied to a tree? That's also asur if it's directly tied to a tree, because that's called stade ilon. Chazal not only asurd ilon, but stade ilon as well. What's mutter is stade ilon. If there is a nail that is in a tree, and then the hammock is attached to the nail, which is attached to the tree. So now the hammock is stud the Elon. So if the hammock is connected before Shabbos, then I could rest on the hammock, because that is using stud the Elon. To put the hammock on the nail on Shabbos, that's Aser, because that's using the nail, and that's stud the Elon. But stud the Elon, two steps removed, that is allowed. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says in Ein Olin Be'ilon. We're talking about can you climb a tree, and what the definition for a significant tree in that regard or not. But it allows us to talk about this for a moment. Ein Olin Be'ilon Bein Lach Bein Yavesh. One cannot climb a tree ve'ein nitzlim bo or hang something on it ve'ein mishtamshin b'mechuba l'karka klal gzeira shem ayala ve'yilosh gzeira. Olin Be'ilon b'shabbos. What happens if somebody climbed a tree? They didn't know. They didn't know, or what if they did know? It's a fascinating knas. Are we going to let the guy stay up there? Are we going to make him stay up there and not come down? You went up there, tough. Climbing the tree down would be using the tree, so you went up there. So what could you do? Allah be'ilon b'shabbos, says the Shulchan Aruch, b'shogeg mutar leirid. If it's shogeg, then you can come down. Right, we're not going to be kones you, even though you're using it by mishtamshus be'ilon, but, you know, we're not going to be kones you, A, and B, why not? Because even sitting up there is using it. So why should we say coming down is worse? So that's using it, or using it while you're sitting up there too. So that's why when, if you went up a shogeg, one is allowed to come down. But bemezid, aser leirid. If you went up a mezid, then also you can't come down till after Shabbos. Vim ala mi bod yom, that's only if you went up a mezid on Shabbos. If you went up on Friday, b'chol gavnei mutar leir mishech hashecha. Right, if you went up on Friday, then we're not going to make such a knas if you went up before Shabbos. Then he says, v'yesh omrin, dahani milik sheyadaito leir mi bod yom. That's only if you had in mind to come down before Shabbos. But if you didn't have in mind to come down before Shabbos, if you had been mazed before Shabbos, lo yerid mishech hashecha, kibish ha'idaito leishiv sham be'isser, v'chulu, this is what is discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. Then he talks to the Shulchan Aruch, talks about Shar She'ilon, what if you have a stump? Right? How tall is a tree considered? What if you have a stump that is a couple of inches off the ground? So it talks about three tvachim, whether that is the minimum shear. And then the Shulchan Aruch, this Siman in Shilam Advav, talks all about issues of kotzer, about walking on the grass on Shabbos and running in the grass on Shabbos, and other issues as well that come up here. Okay, let's continue, but that's important. Oh, here's the Shulchan Aruch later on in the Sif Yud Gimel. Also l'shtamish b'tzadei ilan, aval tzidei tzadin mutter. Right, two steps removed. L'fichach also l'spo chasulam l'tzidei ilan, t'chisalag b'mishabesh b'tzadei. You can't lean something onto a tree on Shabbos, but if it's already there, and it's two steps removed, then one would be able to use it on Shabbos. But either way, that's a little bit about olin b'chevel, olin b'ilan, and that is what is related to Hilchos Shabbos to our Gemara. Okay, we continue to our third line. Ba'imine Rav Acha Bar Huna Me Rav Sheshes. Chutz Mecharef Ploni. What happened if somebody says, I'm selling you this except for this specific charef, carob tree? So we learned earlier that even if I don't say anything, the carob trees are excluded. So the question is, what is meant by my excluding a specific carob tree? Am I limiting what is normally excluded anyway? Or no, I'm just emphasizing, you know, this one, but obviously the other ones are also included. So that's the question of the Gemara. Chutz mechara ploni. Chutz misadan ploni mahu. Excluding one of these specific chashuv trees, you know, what is the halacha? Because after all, it's supposed to be excluded anyway. Oso charavu delo kani, hashar charuvim kani. Shall I say that we are limiting, he is limiting what would normally be excluded anyway. This charuv is not nikneh, but the other charuvim are nikneh, are required to the buyer. Even though if he wouldn't have said anything, they wouldn't have been. O dilma hashar charuvim nami lo kani. Or do I say, no, even the other charuvim are not a koneh, and he's just saying this. Why is he saying this? To emphasize, let's just do the answer, Amale Lokana. So he says Lokana. So the answer is, even though he emphasized one, really all of them are still, Rav Sheshes answers that all of them are still included. So why did he say Chutz? Why did he exclude one of them? So if we look in the Rashbam, about a little more than halfway down the skinny lines in the Rashbam, Vahai Chutz Mecharav Ploni Dikka Amar, that which he says, excluding Charav Ploni. So two ideas here, says the Rashbam. L'shayer Derech L'haydeko Niskaven. Number one, maybe, or L'hay Charav Niskaven. Maybe he's excluding the derech to get there, not just the tree, but he's emphasizing this is what I also want, the pathway to get there. V'lo l'ma'ich hashar, not to exclude the other trees, number one. V'afilu l'rabbananami, and even according to the Rabbanan, who we learned earlier, remember Rabbi Kiva, the Rabbanan about sarach likach lo derech or not, even the Rabbanan dika l'meimar, there's another idea why he might say chutz. L'fichach amar chutz mechar ploni, tibahu charuv hayachafiz yoser. That's his special charav tree. V'loya rotze shiyitve enu lokeach ledin. I don't want you to have any connection to be tovea mi bedin regarding this tree. Ula charav ze ichavin l'shufra d'shtara, as we had earlier. I want this to be super clear that this charav is my special one. It's mine. I don't want it ever to be taken from me. Aval al shar charuvin lo chashish lichtov shufra d'shtara to become akol boteachu v'may dekayim lon de'encharav amurkav nimkar b'chal sada. He generally knows the halacha that they're not included, but he just wanted to be extra super careful with this one to emphasize it. Kain nira be'enai v'ikr, says the Rashbam. So either way, that was the Gemara Shaila about, by saying one, do you only exclude that one or just emphasizing one? And the Gemara's answer is that it was just emphasizing, but he wasn't excluding any other. So is that really true? Eisve, but 1 second, didn't we learn chutz b'char ploni, chutz b'sanna ploni lokana? We learned that if somebody excludes one, Nakona. So what does that mean? So my lav oso charuv hu delokana. Doesn't this mean that that charuv wouldn't be nikne hashar charuvin kane, but others would be nikne, meaning against the diak, against Rav Sheshes, what he just answered, meaning the person is meaning to specify only one and not the others. And where it says amalei lo afilu shar charuvin nami lokana, it could be that the other charuvin are also not nikne, and he just said this for emphasis. And teda, I'll prove it to you that you don't have to say that just because it wasn't mentioned, just because one is mentioned, it doesn't mean to include all others. Why? Teita, dilu amarlei, sadai mechura lecha, chutz misada plonis. What happens if somebody says, I'm selling you a field except for this other field that's next to it? I'm selling you field A, but I'm not selling you field B. So what is that? How are we supposed to understand that? Field C is included because he's only excluding field B? Right, just because you exclude one thing doesn't mean everything else is included. Sade mechura lecha chutz misada plonis. Hahi hu delo kani ha achranaisa kani. Just because you exclude one means all the other ones. A person has 10 fields. I'm selling you A, I'm not selling you B. That means 3 to 10 are also included in the sale automatically. No, those are just not shayach to the sale. Those are not, don't have to be specified either way. So elo lokana. So the other fields are also not kana. Sachanami lokana. So here too, we would say it is not nicknap, because sometimes people just emphasize saying things even though they don't mean it specifically. They're just emphasizing one. Let's just do the other ikat de amre, and then we'll comment. The ikat de amre says the Gemara, different version. Boy mene Rav Acha Bar Huna, may Rav Sheshes. Rav Acha Bar Huna asked Rav Sheshes, chutz mechatzi charav ploni. Chutz mechatzi sadam ploni, a little different. Not just excluding a tree, excluding half of a tree. So now, what about now? You're going to tell me that this is not specific? So, mahu, how should I understand this? Shar charuvin vade lokani? Should I say, well, for sure, in this case, the other charuvin are for sure not nikneh. That's what we said before. Hamashashir ba'oso charav kani, but at least the other half of this tree is nikneh, because he only specifies half of this tree. Should we understand it that way? So at least the buyer gets half of this chashuv tree. Oh, Dilma, filo mashashir bo'osachar v'nami lokani. Or do I say no? Even what he left over, bo'osachar and this charv also is not niknep. So the Gemara says, Amalei Lokani, we said before, don't be medayik, just like we said before, don't be medayik about the other trees, don't be medayik about the other half of this tree. Esve, also, Braisa, chutz mi-chatzi char ploni, chutz mi-chatzi sadan ploni, if I exclude half of one of these trees, shar charuvin lokana, the other charuvin are not nikneh. So doesn't that mean my lav shar charuvin lokana? Shouldn't we be medayik that the other charuvim are not nikne hamashashir but also charuv kana? But what he left over in this charuv, he says this half of one. So shouldn't we at least say the other half of this one is nikne to the buyer? Amar lelo, no. The answer is no. Afilu mashashir ba'osu charuv nami lokana. Don't be medayik. The other charuvim are not nikne, and the rest of this charuv is also not nikne. So, just like we said before, if somebody says, I'm selling you my field except for half of the other field. So again, what, only that half is not nikne, but the other part is? So ela lokani, hachanami lokani. So just like over there we would say lokani, so here too we would say lokani, we would say it doesn't mean to literally say that only this and everything else is different. If we look in the on the fifth wide line of the Rashbam says, klomar pshitalon to lokani alokech shar sados. Right, this is going on the first part, but it means the second part too. It's going on the first case. Just because I say, you're going to field A and not field B, it doesn't mean field C is nikne. Right, it doesn't mean that. If I sell you one field, it doesn't mean automatically all my fields are sold. Because I say something silly, like excluding this field, ain lan alomar shemacher my lo ratza libkar. Right, we can't impute to him other kavanos that he didn't say. Just because he says something silly and irresponsible a little bit in the sale doesn't mean that we can automatically include more. This sada achas, this kavin limkar velo shtei sados. Right, he's only selling one field. That was clear, not two sados. And therefore, here too, he's only selling one tree. He's only selling one field. Whatever the case is, but we can't automatically include something else. If we look at the Nimuki Yosef here. The Nebuki Yosef here, the language of the Rashbam is that we can't hold a davar shtus against him. The Nebuki Yosef's lashon here on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, Mizos Halacha Nafkalon Delo Daikinon Bidvarav Shel Adam Inyan Sheyihia Kenegdo Imlo Amar Mamish. If somebody says something silly, so we can't dafka be motzi mamon to take something against him just because of that lashon. Okay, it's unclear, but we can't use it against him. He's obviously bringing it for him. Sometimes people say things, you know, without focusing and without realizing it. Right? We know that. That's it's the way people are. People, we say things that we don't mean to say. Right? So that is the Nemuki Yosef here that we shouldn't be medayik. What we had earlier in the back in the third parak. Sometimes if somebody brings Edim in a case of Avodah Zarah, if somebody brings Edim in a machlokes of the Chesed Klim Oshanim, and then the other person, the machzik, wants to use those Edim, right? A person brings Edim for 2 years worth, and then he doesn't bring the third year, so he ends up having to lose the case and get off the land. And then the machzik says, "Oh, well, now he has to pay me back the payrus from the 2 years because there were Edim that he ate 2 years and he didn't pay me." So the Gemara said, "No. He brought these Edim to support him." You can't automatically bring these Edim to use against him. Okay, but that's the halacha. There are other contexts. Here we say that people, you know, might say something silly or foolish, and we wouldn't be medayik. There are certain contexts, we mentioned this in the past, that we don't assume people are joking around. We assume people are very, very serious in what they say, and if they say it, right, we hold them to a very high standard. This is going to come up, Ed Hashem, later in our Masechta on Daf Kof Lamed. The Gemara there, right, a couple places in Shas, where the sugi comes up, toch kidei dibur, right, being retracting within a few seconds after I say something. So the Gemara there says, kuf chav tesam abeis, kuf lamed aban aleph, the hilchaz akol toch kidei dibur kidibur dami, usually I'm able to retract within a few seconds, levar, except for, me avodas kochavim v'kidushin. The Gemara here in Baba Basra has two exceptions. Avodah Zara, right, to say, Hare Alai Eloa, if I say, Chas V'Shalom, this is my God, or marriage, Kiddushin, Hare Mekudeshesli, just joking, right? So that we do not say you could go back to Okedei Dibur. Those are the two that are mentioned here in Baba Basra. If we look elsewhere, those two are expanded into four. If you look at Nidar and Pezayin, the Gemara says, Selchazach Okedei Dibur, Kedibur Dami Chutz, Mi Megadef, cursing God, V'Ovid Avodas Kochavim, Mekadesh U'Megarish. Right, the other two are connected. Megadef is connected to Avodah Zarah. Megarish is connected to Mekadesh. Those four are excluded. So, why is that? Why are there four exclusions to the din of Tokudei Dibur, Kedibur Dami? So if you say, like Rabbi Tam says, that the whole thing is a din Rabbanon, right, the whole idea of being able to be chosen was the Rabbanan. So you could say the Rabbanan were not misaked in certain cases, right? Because if I see my Rebbe walking by and I have to be able to say hello to him, so I have to always be able to be chosen, go back to what I'm saying. So that's why if I'm selling something and I see my Rebbe, I have to be able to have retraction time. So if it's all a takana de Rabbanan, like Rabbeinu Tam says, quoted all over, so then fine, it's not so significant. What are the exclusions? But if you say it's a din d'oraisa, then we have to ask the question. Why is it that on a Daraisa level, certain contexts do not have the allowance of Tokedei Dibur? So that's where the Ran comes in. The Ran there in Nedarim Daf Pei Zayin, that sugya in Nedarim is crucial for the general topic of Tokedei Dibur because there's a context there that is very different than the others. But first, let's read the Ran. So the Ran says, V'lo yadana, ma'ishnahani minaluhu l'rabanan hachi. V'nira be'enai, says the Ran, Nedarim Pei Zayin, t'bishar mili lo chamiri kule hai. These other contexts aren't as stringent in people's eyes. Kisha adam osa osam, lo bigmar daito hu osa. When other people do things, sometimes we're not doing it with full gemiras das. Ela daito shiacholach, zerbo tokedei dibur. I don't take it as seriously. Sometimes I'll say things that are foolish, I'll say things that are extra. So that's what Amuki Yosef says in our case, in our Gemara, right? Sometimes we say things, or the Rashba Lashon is of a Davar Shtus. You can't hold every Davar Shtus against a person, right? For HaKadosh Baruch Hu could hold it against somebody. But we can't be Motzi Mamon against them. Avalhani. But by these four, Kivan de Chamiri Kulehai, they are so Chamor. Megadef, marriage, Gerishin, Ein Adam Osa Osam Ela Bahaskama Gemura. People do only act with a seriousness. Umisham hachi chazara afilo tokedei dibur lo mahani. Right, even tokedei dibur would not work, says the Ran here. So again, what about the cases Rachmana Litzlan, cases of kiddushin in the pizza shop? We have teenagers that do it as a joke, so that they're not included in this. Many times, they don't realize the seriousness of it. You can't say they're doing it for Haskama Gemura. But that is the Gemara Nedarim. What I mentioned, why is that an important top Gemara context for the sugya? Because that's really the sugya that you cannot say is just a schus chazara. Right? It's very difficult to say that, because remember what the Gemara there is? The Gemara there is where somebody finds out, Rahman al-Islam, that their relative died, so they tear their shirt. The mitzvah of Kriya. They tear their shirt. So that's the mitzvah of Kriya. What happens if right after they find out, they tore their shirt, they find out, oh, no, your relative hadn't died yet when we told you and you tore, but now he died. Right, now he fainted. He had fainted before, and now he died. So somebody has to tear again. If somebody tears Kriya only on the Shmua, but it wasn't true yet, so then the Kriya doesn't work. But the Gemara says, if it was in Tokedei Dibur of the Kriya, then it works. Then they do not have to tear again. So that's nothing to do with being chozer bo. That has to do with looking at halachic increments of time. And this is all looked at the same increment of time, and that's why you would be yatsa yide kriya. So that's a fascinating context for Tokedei Dibur. That's gonna come up here, but we'll get to it, about 2 months, about 60 daf or so on daf kuflamid be'ezras be'ezras Hashem. Again, everything we say is put into different contexts. It's a very inspirational, but also a scary Rambam. Yeah, mentioned in the past, the Rambam in Pirshim Mishnayis the Perkei Avos, where the Rambam says on the Mishnah in the first parak of Perkei Avos that we have to be careful with what we say. V'lo matzasi guftov yoser el hashtika. Right, that's what the Mishnah says in the first parak. I'm not sure if I'm going to read the Lashon inside now, but the Rambam here, we mentioned it in In Parsha Shirim, where the Rambam says that Avlomo Atzasi Guftov Elashika, the Rambam says everything we say in life can be put into five categories of speech. Every single thing that we say in life. The Rambam says there is. It's here in the first parak. The Rambam says everything we say in life. Either there's mitzvah, that is mitzvos and Torah, and although that's the best. Then the worst is dvar masurim. That's on the other side. And then there are voluntary, like stuff that we, I forgot the exact lashon of the Rambam, Yitzvah Rishus, things that we need. Shopping, carpools, words that we have to say to live life. Business, whatever it is, that's category three. And then the other two categories are where, you know, the litmus test is. Right, what are the other two categories? Where do we spend most of our time? So, hopefully not Dvar Masurim, but not everything is a mitzvah. But the other two categories are the gray areas. The positive gray areas and the negative gray areas. The positive gray areas, the Rambam talks about things that aren't Torah, but they're positive. And they're about ideas, and they're about philosophy, and they're about the beauty of the world, and, you know, all positive using my mouth properly. And then the other category is, it's not mamish, usur, but it's inappropriate, and it's gray area on the negative side. It's not fine, right? It's not what B'nai and B'nos Torah, what we should be talking about, as Avdei Hashem. So every single word, the Rambam says, that we say in life fits into one of these five categories. So we're going to go up, Acharmei Ve'esrim, and we're going to see every one of our words, all trillions and zillions of billions, every word that we've ever said in our life is going to be categorized and put into one of those five categories, and we just got to make sure that the categories that we want to be filled, you know, are filled. Again, that is the Ippur Lashon of the Rambam, but again, it relates to this Rashbam and the Nebuki Yosef, that sometimes people say things, that we say things that aren't the most proud of, they're a little foolish, so the question is, can we act based on them? Our Gemara says no. Okay. We continue now. Says the Gemara, last skinny line. Boi minei Rav Amar Meir Chista. We get into a sugya that has nothing to do with us. It's a totally different sugya, but it quotes the Dayane Gola. Just like we had the Dayane Gola on the top line, the Shmuel and Karna. So this Gemara also quotes the Dayane Gola, but it's a meaty sugya, but it has nothing to do with us in terms of sales, and it just takes us for an amud until we get back to the next Mishnah, Be'ez Hashem, on tomorrow's daf. And this gets into one of the sugyas of Migu. Well, we had this in this Masechta before. We had this in the third parak, but it has nothing to do with this parak, really. So, Boi Minei, Rav Amram, Mei Rav Chizda. Rav Amram, Mei Rav Chizda. Hamavkadei Zachavir B'Shtar. Somebody gives someone else a pikadon with a star. I gave you my animal, my cup, whatever it is to watch, and there's a star that says that I gave it to you, meaning that you cannot say lahadam, you cannot say lo hayudvara me'olam, that you never gave it to me. At least that. The star prevents you from saying that I never gave it to you. But the star doesn't say anything else besides that. It just says that the shmira took place. So what happened? Hamavkad Yitzchak Haver Bishtar. Va'amar lo. Well, again, background, one line. The Rashbam reminds us of what we had back in the third parak. Right? There was a discussion that if somebody is a mafkid chaveiro be'edim, if I'm mafkid to you, not with a star, with the edim, then I do not have to pay you back with edim. Ain't sarach lefaro be'edim. Right? And therefore, if I say I give it back to you, so the edim can't have any claims against that. Edim have no idea if I give it back to you or not. Just because the hafkada happened with edim doesn't mean that anything else has to happen with edim. What about shtar? Is shtar any worse than that? If I'm mafkid b'shtar, do I have to be porea be'edim or not? That's the question here. Hamafgid is a chaveir b'shtar. Va'omar lo hechzartim lecha. And the shomer says, I gave it back to you. So if it had been edim instead of shtar, the shomer would be believed. But what about shtar? This is a little maybe stronger. Maybe the shtar is different than edim. Edim, yes. Edim on a shtar is, as we know, the din of Reish Lakish, edim, al shtar, nasa. Are they considered as if they're there? But it could be that a shtar is even stronger than the edim themselves. Because the edim are just edim. They just know what they know. So they know that the hafkada took place. They have no idea about anything more than the earlier moment in time, whether the Chazara took place. But ironically, a shtar, which has the edim in it, might be even stronger. Let's continue. So if somebody says, I return it to you, mao. So me, I'm Rinon. Do we say, migu, well, doesn't he have a migu, the shomer? He could have had a better claim. Migu di bay amar ne'ensu mehemin. If he said an ones took place, he would be believed, as we'll see by the Shem on Amabez, with a shvua. right? He'd be believed with a shvuah to say, I swear it was ones, right? That's shvuas hashomrim. That's a din d'araisa. So hashtanami mammon. So here too, he doesn't say ne'enas, he says I returned it, so he should also be believed, because he could have just said the other claim. Oh, Dilma, or do we say no? In this case, the miga wouldn't work. Why? Oh, Dilma, matzi amarle, shtarcha biyadi mai bayi. That's the name of this sugya. Shtarcha biyadi mai bayi. Your star in my hand, what is it? Meaning the mafkid could say to the shomer, if you returned it to me, you should have taken the star and ripped it up. Right? Why am I still holding the star? Meaning, just like if I have a star that you owe me money, and you say I paid you back, I'll say, tough, you have to pay me again, because if you would have paid me back, you'd have taken the star and ripped it up. So too, by a pikadon, so too we say, shtar chabiyadi my boy. So, and this is considered migu b'makom edim. Migu b'makom shtar sheish bo edim. That's the question here. Right? Do we say the shomer would be believed with a migu, or the balabayas would be believed? So Amar Lei, let's just read the Gemara and then we'll make some comments here. There's a lot of discussion here in the Rishonim. So Amar Lei Mehemin. So we say, yes, the Rav Chisda says that the Shomer is believed. So the Gemara says, V'leim alei shtarcha biyadi mai boy. What about this b'makom shtar? So shtarcha biyadi mai boy. So Amar Lei, Ula Taimech. So Rav Chisda says back, wait a minute. V'chi Amar Lei Nansu, Mimatzi Amar Lei shtarcha biyadi mai boy. What about Nanas? In the case of Nanas, we know he's going to be believed. Right, so why is that, why are you so surprised by my saying also by Hechzartim? So Amar Lei, he says, no, wait a minute. Sof, ki Amar Lei Nansu, lav Shvua boy. Even at least in the case of Nanas, he's going to have to take a Shvua, right? Shvua Sashomrim, one of the three Shvua Daraises, and as we know, the Shvua Sashomrim itself is split up into three, which we'll review in a minute, so Hakanami, my Nema B'Shvua. Rav Chisda says, yes, you're right, that's what I mean. That just like Ne'enas would be believed with a Shvua, so too, this case, when he says Hechzartim, he would be believed with a Shvua also. Just, we'll work a little backwards. The Shvua says Shomer, as we know, the Rambam discusses in Hilchos She'ela. The Rambam discusses the sugyas of Shomrim and the different types of shvuas. We know that in Tov V'Nitan, he talks about the three shvuah daraisas, but in Hilchos She'ela, here in Perek Dalid, he speaks about the shvuah of a shomer. In Perek Dalid, Allah Chalav, Mafkan Eitzach Havera B'chinam, V'nigna V'o'adav, Arizan Nishpa V'niftar, Shneem Rav Gunami Beiso Ish, V'chulav, V'nigra V'alabayas Eloh Elohim, Imlo Shalak Yadob Emlechas Re'eyu. U'magalgan Allah B'toch Shvuah. So what's the real shvuah, or the first shvuah that we would have thought of? Show what happened. I swear it was ne'enas. But we know from Hamafkid and Gemara's and Bamatzia that we have to add on. He doesn't only swear about what happened. Umigalgin alav tov betoch hashvua shelo pashaba. Number one, he wasn't negligent with it, which caused the ones. Elashomar kederach hashomrim. And velo shalach boyad. V'achar kach nigrav. And he also wasn't shalach boyad, which would make him then into a gazlon. Shim nigrav achar shalach boyad bebikadon chayav achar yusos. Those are the three parts of Shuas HaShomrim, as we know, from Hamafkid. What happened? And shalosh shalach boyad, and shalosh pashabo, and maybe eino b'rishuso. That was, I think, the dinner of Rav Huna. Shua that it's not in my rishus. He also might be lying. Even if something, it was nanas, meaning, but I still have it. So these are all different parts of Shuas HaShomrim, and the big discussion we had then, is there one of those that's the Iker Shvua, and the others are Nigar after it? The Rambam clearly says that the Iker Shvua is what happened, and then we're Megalgel, the others. But either way, that is what is the Gemara says here, when Rav Chisda says that Ne'enas would have those Shvuas, and so too, Hechzarti Lecha would also, have those Shvuas. And Tosfos on top of here, Rambam Beis discusses, relating this to the Machlokas elsewhere, whether Shvuas HaShomrim requires also modes of mixas, remember the sugya of Erev Parshios Kasuv Kan, right? Whether we say, because the source of modem mixas is in the context of Shomrim, so do we say that the three Shvuas HaShomrims, modem mixas, Shvuas HaShomrim, and Shvuas Eid Echad are three separate Shvuas? Or, according to some, there is an overlap between two of them, that Shomrim always have to have modib and mixas. Satosus discusses that on top. How does that fit into our Gemar? But anyway, let's get back a little bit to the Amid Aleph discussion. Avstarcha biyadi my boy. So this is a discussion of the Achronim. Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole yardside shiur about the power of a shtar. Because after all, as we alluded to before, if the Eidim were actually here and they said the Pikadon, you know, was given over, so then they have nothing to say about whether it was returned or not. Because Hamalvas Chaveiro Bish Eidim ain't Sarach Lafaro Ba Eidim. And all of a sudden now, Amar v'chayr b'shtar might be worse. And he might, the shtar might say, what do you mean? Isn't the shtar just the edim? No, that's the chiddush. Rav Soloveitchik talks about this, that's the chiddush of tfisas baal hashtar. In my volume, it's in Shirim L'Zecher Av Amari, Chelek Aleph, page Reish Samach Vav, Reish Samach Zayin. Again, it's a whole, the Yartzeit shiur called Osios Niknos B'Mesir. They say that Rav Soloveitchik always gave the Yartzeit, I was never Zocha to hear one, but they say he always gave the Yartzeit shiur about some topic in Moed. So all of them are Kibbut V'Onik Shabbos, Yom V'Layla, Kriya Sator B'Moados, Lizok U'Lahariya called Tzara Shetavo, right, all of these, and then one year he gave one on a non-Arachayim Sugya, so to speak. Osios Niknos B'Mesira. That's this last one in the volume. So there he discusses, after asking, as he always did, asking 10 different questions to build up the pyramid of the chiddush, he gets into the chiddush of what the definition of a shtar is. When a baal hashtar holds a shtar after the key ingredient of das hamischayev, which is, that's what we said, based on Tosfos and Kitsubis Tavchaf and the Baal Amar and Yavamis, that is the ingredient in a shtar that gets over the problem in the hump of mipiyem below mipiksavam, because after all, Edom are not allowed to give their testimony bichsav in Bezdin. So they can't give their testimony bichsav, so what's a shtar? Is that a violation of Mipiem v'lo Mipiksavam? So the answer, many different answers in the Rishonim, the Rambam has his answer, Rabbeinu Tam has his answer, but the Baal Amar in Yavamis, Daf Lamed, Lamed Aleph, and Tosfos and Ksubas Daf Chaf also say two words, Da'asa Mischayev. The person that is committing to whatever commitment is needed, the Lova is committing that I owe you money, or whoever is committing, once I agree and I tell Edim to write down my Da'asa Mischayev, that's different. That's not Edim sending their testimony. There's no Da'asa Mischayev there. So once there's Da'asa Mischayev, so that creates the shtar. Once there is a shtar created, the chiddush is that a shtar talks. The shtar says, I'm kosher. The shtar says, I am not paid up yet. The obligation that was created, that I witnessed, that you see recorded in the shtar, that has not been fulfilled yet. That's what the shtar says. By the Tfisas Baal Ashtar. That's what he writes. Vashtar nimsar al yidei avischayiv kidei sheya'amod negdo. Melachin ha-malva ne'aman b'chol tainosav. And that's when the malva is believed. And that's why the sugya that Rav Soloveitchik is talking about here is the sugya of osios tiknos b'vesira. If the shtar says, I'm Reuven, the shtar says that Shimon owes Reuven money, can I sell the shtar to somebody, and then they'll hold the shtar? Will they get all the power of the shtar, even though it says my name? But now they're holding it. Are osios niknos b'mesira, just by giving it over, or do we say no? Osios not. You have to write down a different name on it. That's the sugya. Do you have the power of tfisas baal hashtar, even if you're not the one that's recorded in there? That's the machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan in this sugya. Rebbe saw over osios niknos b'mesira. Klomar, shtar nitfas b'mesira. V'halokeach nichnas tachas ha-malveh. V'naaseh baal hashtar. Al yedei tfisaso shinoi chalos shem baal hashtar v'yedei chilufei baal hashtar nimsar hachov mitfisas hamalve l'tfisas halokeach. That's what Rebbe says. The magic can be transferred. While the Rabbanan say no. Hashtar meir al kol advaram hamispatchim gam acharei chasim ha-seidim u-mesiraso ulam halacha zu mishtayechas rak l'prati ma'isa mefura peshtar atzmo aval lo l'pula acheres kegon mechiras halva she'lo shum kesher im guf hadavar. Sha'olav Ashtar Meir, right? Just because you're holding it, what is it? You're not the Baal Ashtar. Right? So therefore, and again, there's 20 pages here all about the Chiddush of Shtar, but that is that's for our sugya, that's what we need to know. So again, that's why back to our Gemara, that's the question here. That the Shtar Chabiyadek Vayboy, can be even stronger than the case of Ashtar. Tosfos also here discusses, how does the Tosfos in Dibur Maskil Odilma discusses what about the Mandamar Modi B'Shtar Shakasvu Tzorach Lakaimo? How does Kiyim Shtaris relate to this sugya? Again, there's a lot here. The Ritva, just one other context that is specifically mentioned here. So the Rashbam here calls the suffix of the Gemara of, again, the Migu that he could have said Ne'ensu, he calls that Migu B'makom Edim. That's the language of the Rashbam, fourth to last line. Ukimo Mali L'Shakar B'makom Edim Dami. That's the language of the Rashbam. If you look in the Ritva, the Ritva here is a little different lashon. He says it's more of a migu b'makom chazaka. That a person would have taken this shtar back and ripped it up had he returned it. He says, Migu, Michael Baila, the Parakama Bishmaisa, Kofez Mala Khaveri Baila, Yamrina Migu Makam Khazaka Valov Shita. Vieshlomar, Shein Kala Khazaka Shavos. Says the Ritva, this is a question of Migu Makam Khazaka, and you cannot use this to bring a raya to the other 10 places in Shasta where we might find this question. Because every type of Khazaka, as we have mentioned, is unique and different. Can't compare every chazaka to other chazakos, right? There's cheska, there's different, there's chazaka in the poriyah betoch, there's chazaka that's like a ruba de lesa kaman. There's a chazaka that is based on, you know, what people do, based on, how people act. There's different ways to say it. But the Ritva here says, ein kol chazaka shavos. That's why if you find an answer in one Gemara and not another Gemara, it doesn't mean that it's automatically comparable. Which is also another discussion in the Rishonim. Usually Migu means, oh, I could have said the better claim. What if I could have only said the better claim by swearing about it? Do you say Migu then? Maybe I didn't want to swear about it. So the Ritva says, it's clear from our Maskana that we just read, that you do say migu, even if the other claim would require a shvua daraisa. That shvua sashomrim here, nansu, would have required a shvua daraisa. Also, the discussion here, is this a migu lahotzi or not? Right, what's the case here? The mafkid, the balabayas, wants his object. Right, and the other person, the shomer, is holding his object. So the shomer says, I gave it back, I have a migu, so I don't want to give it back. Who owns this? Right, the Balabayas owns it, and the Shomer is the one that was guarding it for him. Is that called a Migu Lahotzi? Right, we had this discussion back in the third parak. We had this on Bava Metzia Daf Beis. Migu Lahotzi Lo Amrinan, according to many Rishonim. A Migu could work to hold on to something, not to be motzi it from someone else. Because Migu is not a Din Vadai. Migu is, you could have said a better claim. That doesn't mean it's 100%. Right, you have there's a reason to believe you. But many Rishonim say that's enough to be lahachzik, but not lahotzi. So here, is it lahachzik or lahotzi? Many of the cases of migu are not clear whether they're lahachzik or lahotzi. What if somebody has a shtar? Here the migu is against the shtar. The shomer has the migu, and the balabayas has the shtar. Often the migu, the person holding the shtar has the migu. And there you say, again, is that a lahotzi or not? By shibudim, I have the shtar, but you have the property. So is that a migu? Here, the migu is working against the shtar. But we could ask the same question. Usually we say, kol hecha de'iso, wherever an object of a pikadon is, it belongs to the balabayas. But here there's a question. We don't know where it is. So, right, he says, I returned it to you. So again, that's a discussion here, how this is defined, migu lahotzi or not migu lahotzi. There's a big discussion in the Akronim also. The Ksos discusses this in it's Simon Pei Gimel. Right, I'll just read you one lashon of his, and then we'll continue our Gemara. Bo nir lani es daiti, says the Ksos. Delo mahani migu lahotzi bishtar, ela bishtara degavi mi mishabdi. Right, he says, you could say a migu lahotzi by a shtar with achrayas, because that creates as if it's kegavui dami, and that's not called migu lahotzi, because I have a shtar, I have shibudim. But shtar she ain't govim mishadi. But if it's a shtar that's not govim for mishubadim. So, for example, if you have a ksav yad, it's not a regular shtar with edim. It's a ksav yad, an IOU. So that might not be. That could be different than a regular shtar, right? That you wouldn't say migu lahotzi. That would be considered lahotzi. Therefore, you wouldn't be able to say migu there, even though by a regular shtar you would say that it is not considered lahotzi. It's considered lahachzik. Again, very fruitful discussion here. By the Rishonim, by the way, the Gemara Rishonim also ask. It's an unusual flow of the Gemara. The Gemara has a suffix. Do you say migu or shachab yad my boy? So the Gemara says you say migu. So the Gemara says, what about shachab yad my boy? That was the question. Why are we asking that in the very next line? That was the first question. The Gemara gave an answer. Migu wins. So now the Gemara says again, my shachab yad my boy. What's the chiddush? So the Rashba says, you know, you're right, but do we paskin that way? Why would we paskin that way? You have to say there was another step in the Gemara's question, even though the Gemara just asked that originally. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara, second line now. Lema biplugta tahani tanoi. Let's say this issue of Rav Chisda about migu in the face of shtarcha biyadich my boy, right? Maybe that is a gufa machlokas tanoi. Tahani tanoi. Ditanya shtarkis ayotzi ala yisomin. What does that mean? Shtarkis ayotzi ala yisomin. Right, the Rashbam puts names in. We're talking about a case getting back to a little bit of ribbis. Right, what's the case here? Ruvain shnasa mos l'shimon l'machzeshchar. Ruvain gave money to Shimon, and Shimon is going to invest the money, and Reuven's going to get a percentage back. Part of it he's going to get back for sure. He's going to get back, let's say, half the money for sure, and the other half, depending on the profits, he's going to get a certain percentage of the profits. Shimon died. Shimon died. And now Reuven comes to the Yorshim of Shimon and says, okay, I want my money back that I gave him to invest. So the question is, the children might say, well, oh, he gave it back to you already. Gave it back to you already. That's how our Gemara relates to this question, right? The fourth skinny line in the Rashbam. V'hayisomim ta'anim shem avinu atziru lecha. Maybe our father returned it to you already. Inami tainas baritanu, or maybe he for sure returned it to you. V'ilu, keep reading the Rashbam, v'iloya milveh ba'alma, if it was a regular milveh, Reuven comes to Shimon's children, right, your father borrowed money from me, and he has to pay me back, then everybody agrees there that Reuven could swear and collect the money. Nishba v'notel, nishba Reuven v'goveh kalashtar mena yisomim, deles lavo and shabtaina, just like if the loveh was alive, he would not be able to be believed over a shtar. Reuven can be nishba v'notel, so to the yisomim. So the tzad, that's a milveh, for sure nishba v'notel. But here, it's not all milveh. Here, we'll see it's also partial pikadon, because part of it is going to go back to him for sure. So what about that other part that's going to go back to Reuven for sure, as the principal that he put in? So could he also swear about that or not? So here we go. So Tanya, Shtar Ketzei Yotzei Al Yisomim. Dayani Gola, that's why this is here. Dayani Gola Amri Nishma V'Gove Kulo. Dayani Gola say, Shmuel and Karna say, he can be Gove, everything that he is owed. V'Dayani Eret Yisrael Amri, but the Dayani Eret Yisrael say otherwise. They say, Nishma V'Gove Mechza. He can only collect the half that's considered a milveh, not the half that's called a bikadam. So what is this machlokas about? So here we go. Udakuli alma islu denar doi. We assume everybody holds of nahar doi, who we had back in Ezeo Neshach. To Amri nahar doi, hai iska, well it came up, it related to Ezeo Neshach, even though it came up at the end of Amitzia. Hai iska, palga milveh, palga bikadon. The iska, the Rabbana, made a takana to help lenders and borrowers be able to have a financial relationship that doesn't violate ribbis, and they're both still happy about. So everybody agrees half of this arrangement is called considered a milveh, half pikadon. And the machlokas is whether he could be nishba v'notel on the pikadon part of it. That's exactly what Rav Chisda. Remember, Rav Chisda says migu beats the shtar, and Rav Chisda would say no, a shtar and a shvua would beat the migu, right? So that's this machlokas. So my love, alchem ifligi demar savar mati armalei shtar chabiyadich my boy. One opinion says that the malveh, or here the Reuven in our case, could say, well, why do I still have your shtar? If your father paid me back, he would have taken the shtar. Because he didn't, he must not have paid back, so I'm going to collect this with a shvua. That's against Rav Chisda. Umar Savar, lo Amri. Umar Savar, no, lo, you don't say this. I'm sorry, that was Rav Chisda said the Shvuah is with the Shomer. I think, right, the other way. Umar Savar, lo Amri. The other one said, no, you do not say Shtar Chabiyadech, my boy, and therefore the Shomer wins. Meaning the first side is against Rav Chisda. The second side is like Rav Chisda, but just the way I formulated it, the Shomer was taking the Shvuah. So isn't that the machlokas? The Gemara answers, lo. Dekulei Amis, lo, Rav Chisda. Could be everybody agrees with Rav Chisda. Meaning in Rav Chisda's case, the Shomer, right, the Shomer has the Migu, the Amrlei Nen, so he could swear about it, he would win. But here is different. Damar Savar, Im Isa Depare, here is different, because if the father would have really paid back, Meimar Have Amar, he would have told his children, Mishas Misa, that he paid back. He would have told, and because he didn't say anything, that's why we have to assume that he did not pay back. And that's why in this case, the mashkia, right, the one who gave the money, is nishba v'notel. Umar Savar, Eimer Malach HaMavis, who don't say, no, maybe he didn't get a chance, maybe he just died quickly without having the opportunity to be able to be mitzaveh his children about all of his financial relationships, and therefore, that's no riot just because he didn't tell his children. And the Ritva says, even if he didn't die with a heart attack, right, he didn't die in a second. He died slowly still. You might say, whenever it happened, it's sudden for the person, Rahman al-Islam. And therefore, you can't be medayif in the fact that he didn't tell his children. The Rishonim here ask, why don't we say, is there a taina of nansu for the Yisomim? Maybe an ones happened, and that's why we don't have to pay you back. Right, we don't have that taina. So Tosfos says, it's a milsa de la shchiach. So therefore, we're not going to tain it for the Yesomim. Or the Yad Ramah says, if it was Ne'enas, their father definitely would have told them. If something Ne'enas, Hechzir, okay. But Ne'enas, that's something that the father would have told them. Mimisa de Isnes Iska Gabe Abuon Agav Tsare Memer Havi Omar. He would be in such pain and tsar that he lost it. If he gives something back, there's no tsar. But if he lost his investment, then he for sure would have said it, because tsar, people have to share, right? Misery loves company. And therefore, if somebody goes through a difficult time, or he lost something, lost a venture, he would definitely share it with his children. It's like the Sefer HaChinuch by the mitzvah of setting slaves free during Yovel. It's challenging, says the Chinuch. He says, that's why there's the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar during Yovel. So when you hear the shofar, you realize everybody's setting free their slaves, right? Misery loves company. And therefore, it'll be a little easier for each individual to set free their slaves, in the year of Yovel. Okay, let's finish up. As Hashem continuing. Shalach Rafuna bar Avin Amavka be'etzal chavera b'shtar v'omer lo achzarktiv l'cha ne'mon. Right, Rafuna bar Avin said that if somebody's mafkid, so the shomer would be believed. Hechzarktiv l'cha ne'mon. V'shtar kis ayotzi ala yisomim nishba v'govek kulo. But a shtar kis that goes out against the yisomim, the bala bayis, would be believed to collect everything. So one second, tarti. And then we just say that those two don't work together, right? Those are against each other. Shiny Hasa, no. He said, what was the maskana? That you don't have to say they argued. They both are like Rav Chisda. Shiny Hasa, Demisa the Pari, maybe Ave Omar. If the father would have really paid back, then he would have told his children. Rava Omar, Hilchaza Nishba Vagova Mechsa. But we're not passing that way. We pass in Nishba and Gova Mechsa. You only could collect the half that is milveh, but not half that is pikadon, which is the smoother way of understanding Rav Chisda. Amar Marzutra, hilchza kadayane gola. The halach is like the dayane gola. Amar Ravinlar Marzutra, hamar of anishpa vagove mechsa. We just said the halach is like you can only collect half. Dayane gola said that you collect whole. Amar le, anad dayane gola ifcha masninan la. Now we have the different version. We have the dayane gola saying, nishpa vagove mechsa, and that's why that is what we hold. Okay, we'll have to stop here, but Hashem, we will continue tomorrow.